Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, hey, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Marable, co-founder and CEO of Employee Cycle, and we are your friendly people dashboard that's connecting to your HRIS, ATS, all your different HR systems so that you can pull your data in one place to be able to easily and quickly answer all your workforce questions. Go to employeecycle.com to be able to sign up for a free account and trial to try it out. Let us know what you think. Love your feedback. Hopefully you become a customer. But today, we are going to talk about on the podcast how to deliver remote training and coaching with Jessica Cornwell. So please help me welcome Jessica to the podcast. Welcome. Woo, Jessica! Welcome!
How are you, Bruce?
I am doing well, considering the world is a totally different place every day.
For sure, yeah.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I've been busy, keeping everything going over here.
So, Jessica, you know, we had switched to a different format for a while because we really were interviewing everyone about the serious topic around coronavirus and reducing stress and anxiety. And although that is still happening, we wanted to get back to start talking about more general HR and people ops areas and responsibilities, because we know that a lot of people are getting back into the rhythm. Not everyone, but hopefully a lot of people. And so we want to go back to the question that we always ask at the beginning of every interview, which is, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
Sure. Good question. It's been a long road. So my undergrad is actually in IT. And eventually I started doing IT work for our HR department and then just started helping them in HR, got my PHR certification. Eventually I went back and got my MBA and had an emphasis in HR. So I've sort of worked my way in. But I love having the IT background because a lot of what I've done is helping people, helping customers streamline their processes through software. So whether that's a new hire onboarding process or a termination or an employee coaching process or whatever is going on in the HR world, a lot of it is facilitated via systems. And so as I'm a user, I'm also sort of working with our development team quite often to do requirements gathering and what do we want the user experience to look like. So I love having that IT background and I rely on it heavily. I am now at a company called Rebiz that was a startup back in 2014, and we develop our own software. So I'm the director of HR for this company. I'm also the director of learning management, and we are creating our own learning management system and our own HRIS as we go. So as a user, I have insight into what we need and where our pain points are. And having that IT background has really facilitated a lot of the changes that we've made in our systems. So it's been super advantageous.
Awesome. So today we're going to talk about remote training and coaching. I would like to break this up into three different areas. First, what's the big difference between training and coaching when you're in person versus remote? Second, how do I come up with a remote coaching and training plan? And then we'll end out with, how do I actually measure to see if this was effective? So let's start with the difference between in-person coaching and training versus providing these two really mission-critical services to employees remotely.
Sure. Ideally, training and coaching and growth can happen in an open environment, whether that's in-person or remotely. Either way shouldn't matter, as long as it's open communication, everyone feels involved, everyone feels like giving feedback is a positive thing, that they're not going to get any sort of recourse for doing so, or, you know, made to feel less than competent for doing so. So that's important, whether it's in person or remotely. A lot of times when you're in person, you can sort of read the room, get a feel if you should, you know, kind of skip past a topic because people already are understanding it. It's a little harder to do that remotely because you can't read the room as well, especially if there's no video. So a lot of times you have to do a lot of preparation beforehand. Like, what are you interested in learning? Where do you feel like your pain points are? Or where do you feel like you need to learn something in order to do your job more effectively? So a lot of that preparation. And then a lot of that afterward as well. So how do you get feedback about the session? A lot of times, again, when you're in person, you can get those kinds of feedbacks during the session because you're just watching body language. And you can also get it before they leave the room. You can have them fill out a questionnaire or a survey or ask three questions before they leave. What'd you learn? What'd you like? What'd you miss? Those kinds of things. So when we're doing it remotely, we're using a little bit more on-the-job application. So for example, with my team, we are doing a lot of cross-training. I have a lot of team members on my team, and each one is sort of a specialist in their own area or client that we service or piece of the process. But it takes all of my team members to do all of that. And so what do we do if somebody is out? We can't stop supporting our customers. So during this time, we used to do this. And when we got really busy, we kind of dropped out of this. And actually, we sort of stopped doing this when coronavirus started because everybody was remote. So everybody's in the office, they're cross-training, they're sitting with each other, they're watching what each other is doing, learning, taking notes, reading from the process documentation that we have. But then we all went home, and it's really hard to do that. We have people in all different countries, and not everybody has the same internet speed, so you're always dealing with those kind of difficulties. Sometimes it goes out. Sometimes you're in a different time zone. So all of those really need to be planned in advance. But we've restarted that again. So we're doing cross-training. We're hosting sessions, you know, weekly, a couple times a week, actually, in some cases, where our team members are walking through the entire process that they do. They're screen sharing. They're documenting as they go. We have documentation, but as they're talking, if something needs to be enhanced or changed based on a system change, we're doing it as we cross-train. So we're also seeing now that we're able to support our clients a little bit more quickly because more than two people are knowing how to do pieces of processes now. So everybody can jump in and help more often and more frequently than we have been these last couple of months as we are all now working remotely. So that's what we've kind of been doing. We've also started within our team, I'm looking for the next team lead. And so instead of going outside the company, I want someone who has that sort of tribal knowledge, as everyone says, that they know our clients already, they know our processes, they know our system, which is really hard to learn. I mean, it's a system that we've built in-house, so it's not like you can Google, how do you do this? You kind of have to be familiar with our software and where to go get things. So we have started a team lead sort of like succession planning training program. And so I asked everyone on the team who would like to be part of this program, who's interested in taking that next step in their career. And we mapped out a 3-month program that just started in June. And we have 3 sessions a week for those people who raised their hand and said, yes, I'd like to continue. And we sort of mapped out from an HR perspective, what would that mean? What is everybody's level right now? Where could we promote them if they were successful in this? If we identify that there are skill sets that they are really good in that's not in HR, you know, do we have the capacity to be able to move them to another team and grow their career? You know, I'm not looking to squander at what anybody's doing. If they have, we actually have someone in our team who would really love to get more into IT. So we're working that into parts of his role. So right now, this training program, part of your question was, how do you prepare for that? So we have mapped out all of the processes this person needs to know, all the soft skills we want a team lead to have, and we're mapping out activities that we do that fall into each one of those categories. And then we're giving them activities to do, like mini tests along the way, so that we can test how they're learning as we're teaching them all of this. So a lot of prep. It's a lot as we're doing it because we're doing 3 sessions a week for that team lead program. They're only an hour or two each, but 3 times a week. And then we have, as we go, measurements of these little training sessions and little mini tests that we're giving as we go. And then obviously, you know, we will go through a full interview process before we select which one of them will be the next team lead and opportunities for those that don't actually become the team lead.
Thank you for all of that. That's really interesting and super helpful. We like to show and share a lot of tactical things on the show so that people can really follow along and say, okay, I'm here. This is what I need to get to this next stage. Sorry if I missed this, but in this process of identifying who you may be able to help move to the next level of their career, how are you identifying the additional skill sets that they aren't currently using in their current job to see which other roles they might be a good fit for?
Sure. Good question. So we have a group of people on the team who are some entry level, some that have been there for probably 2 or 3 years and haven't taken the next step in their career. So with that group of people, we literally just sat down with them and said, here's the need on our team. Who's interested in seeing if they want to enhance their skills and become part of that need? In that conversation, I learned that we have someone on our HR team who's here because he wants to be here, no doubt, but also is considering, you know, like I mentioned, doing some piece of IT or application development. And we have a lot of those opportunities because we build our own software. So that actually came out of a question that was a very HR focused question that we kind of kept prodding, and that's where we got to. So it takes a lot of questions and sort of reading people. I mean, obviously we're not in the room, but you can kind of read their tone of voice and whether or not they're excited about the answer that they give, or if they're just kind of answering because they feel like it's the right question. But we kept prodding and asking the questions in different ways where we just kind of got to the heart of what he was feeling. And so that's actually one of the soft skills identified in our training program, right? Like, yes, you may be an amazing employee and you can support our customers and follow our processes. You may even be able to enhance the processes, update documentation, all of that kind of stuff. But can you lead people? That's the next step. So do you have what it takes to not only make sure that the processes you're already doing and the customers you're already supported stay at that same level or even get better? How do you measure that? How do you quantify that? So that's what that next level, what that manager can do. So they have the people skills to lead people, and they also have the ability to sort of step back and see how are we measuring and how do we know if we're successful or not? So those are the types of things that we're including in the training program. And really, your question was, how do you identify those people? We ask them. I have said many, many times on my team, I want you to ask questions. I want you to poke holes in what we do. Just because we always do it that way, don't do it that way. Do it that way because it makes sense. And if it doesn't, call me or, you know, raise your hand in a team meeting that we have, but please don't just continue to do it. So that has taken a little bit of time. I feel like people are a little bit scared to point out that things might be wrong, especially if it's a software that your company is developing on their own. But we are really, really good at saying, raise your hand and make it better, because that's what we want to do. I just had a session this morning where we talked about, you know, in HR, there are a lot of times that you do X and it takes 4 steps to do it. Why do we have 4 different screens? Can we put that all on one screen? And what would that user experience look like? So that person that was identified as wanting to move into that IT, I can pull him into these calls now. He's still on my HR team and he's still doing that, but I'm able to expose him to some of the IT conversations. And what does that look like? And are you really interested in moving into this? Because we may have some opportunities.
And then the last thing, as I'm going through all this and I figured out how to build out a process to be able to map where my employees are, who needs what training, who needs what types of specific coaching, and then align that to where employees need to be. Once I've actually executed and delivered on this, how do I go about tracking to see if I've done a good job and the impact that it has on the business?
Right. That's an excellent question, the application piece. So we are actually also developing our own learning management system. And that interacts with we call it our portal. So your entire hierarchy of employees are in our portal and it maps to our learning management system. So on there, you can post anything you'd like. You can create a training and post it. It could be, you know, a training about one of our products. How do you use it? What is the best practice? It could be, we have a lot of trainings on there that are sort of the HR compliance trainings, you know, diversity, sexual harassment, the safety in the building, those types of trainings are all on there. So we can track who has taken the trainings, what their scores were on the quizzes, how many times they took the score. And then you can create and map out plans that you'd like your employees to take. So you can have sort of a learning map for your employees. You can see how many times they took it, what their scores were. And then there's a dashboard on there that sort of shows everybody's progress. You can sort of gauge where each manager is. So you can say, you know, this manager has 10 employees and they're really good at getting all 10 employees to take all these trainings and get great scores. Or I have another manager who has 10 employees and only two of them have taken them. So let's work with this manager to say, you know, this training is really important for all of our employees. How can we help you to roll this out to your team and to ensure that they are taking it seriously as well and getting feedback about all of those trainings? So that's one of the things also that we offer to our clients, that we're building that LMS system, and we're sort of taking also this time during the coronavirus, as a lot of our clients are, their stores are closed because of the coronavirus. Everybody's sort of now reopening. So we're starting to get past that. But as these stores were closed, they sort of, you know, took a bit of a hiatus from our part of our services, the monitoring portion of our services. And so we were able to pull a lot of things off of our dusty shelves and say, these are some great enhancements that we've been wanting to make that we just haven't. And so we've really been able to dig into enhancing our own system, our own software, to make it better. And that's one of the things that we've been working on, is tracking the trainings that we give and the completion rates and how well people are doing, and, you know, doing feedback sessions. What would you rather see? The first set of trainings that we rolled out, people didn't like, you know, a piece of it. So we said, okay, we won't do those on the next trainings. What will the next one be? And we've also gone out and found a lot of already created free trainings for our own employees. So how do you work remotely? A lot of our employees never worked remotely before. So what are some best practices? How do you stay engaged? How do you keep your manager up to date on what you're doing? We use a lot of Google products. So we put a lot of Google trainings out there. What are some, you know, ways you can get better at Google Calendar or Gmail or a lot of the plugins that we use? We posted a lot of stuff on our LMS system for our employees to be able to use remotely from their homes, so that they can sort of reskill themselves in just how can I be a better employee remotely, and how can I use what we use better.
Got it. Well, thank you so much, Jessica, for being an awesome podcast guest and for letting us learn a lot more about remote training and coaching. So again, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
So please let the world know where they can find you and your company.
Yes. So we are Rebiz.com, a data analytics company, and we hope to see you soon.
Awesome. So if you enjoyed this podcast as much as we enjoyed making it, please leave us a 5-star rating, because that shows that you care. Also, if this is the first time that you're listening to an Employee Cycle podcast episode, make sure you download on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or whatever awesome podcast player you're listening to. And for all you HR and people leaders out there, please make sure to hire, retain, and make sure you're just really taking care of your workforce and reducing the stress and anxiety and helping them continue to be the best that they can be. So thank you all, and later, kids.